Hello, just a quick bit before this week's episode to let you know that we have a Patreon you can subscribe to if you like what we're doing here and you want more of it. You probably already knew that. We don't stop going on about it. What you didn't know is that you can currently get a little free trial, so you know exactly what you'd get as part of your subscription. You can head to patreon.com/whatismusicpod or follow the link in the show notes to get your first 7 days free. All you need to do is pick which tier you'd like a free trial of. The Biggest Mates tier is the one that has all the extras in it. And then for 7 days, you are free to listen to any episode we've released in the last 6 months. You can cancel any time or just leave the subscription rolling if you like what you find. It's charged monthly. And during any month, as part of that Biggest Mates tier, you'll get ad-free episodes of this show every Monday. You'll get a brand new episode of our new Manic Street Preacher show every month. 2 episodes every month of the Ultimate Playlist, our themed playlist show, where we talk about all kinds of different music, different artists, different genres, different eras, and 1 or 2 bonus episodes every month, depending on the length of the month. That's 2 episodes every week. There's also other tiers to trial. One that is just the Manic Show and ad-free What Is Music episodes, and another that is just ad-free What Is Music episodes. But hey, if the first 7 days are free, why not try a bit of everything? Plus, all tiers include access to the exclusive subscriber-only Discord where we discuss the shows, the bands we've covered, various music topics, and loads of other stuff, including some games that the friendly community have devised themselves. So head on over to our Patreon page now to claim your free 7-day trial. Go to patreon.com/whatismusicpod or follow the link in our show notes. See you there. You're wearing, what is that called? A snood? No.
Isn't a snood like a
it's
scarf?
It's a scarf and a hood.
Yeah. No, it's just a scarf that's got no end.
It's an infinite scarf.
It's an infinite scarf, yeah.
Yeah, it's a scarf in its own tail.
A Mobius scarf.
Yeah.
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 You're sat in, what would you call that then?
A big hoodie.
It's a big hoodie. It's not, though. Does it have sleeves or is it a poncho? Oh, it does have sleeves. He's raised his arms.
It's just a big hoodie. It's just
feel like he could answer me verbally.
It's just a big hoodie.
Okay, it's just a big. You're sat in a big hoodie. I imagine you sit on that, and you've got you're playing a video game on one screen. You're watching Lost on a second screen. You're playing Nintendo Switch on your you know with the handheld thing, and you've got TikTok on your phone and. Your tablet is playing Subway Surfers in case the video you're watching on TikTok doesn't have Subway Surfers at the bottom. That's how I imagine you.
It's pretty accurate, to be fair.
It's pretty accurate, yeah. I thought it might be. Hello, and welcome to What Is Music, a music podcast about music. We are a podcast that focuses on discographies in their entirety, doing deep dives on one artist at a time, and you join us for season 6, which is called Are We Enjoying This? A critical analysis of the history, cultural impact, and music of REM. We're going through their entire career, album by album, track by track, asking questions like, does context matter when listening to music? Does knowing the history of an artist affect your appreciation of their output? And this season, we are, of course, asking, are we enjoying this? And to be clear, we're asking, are we enjoying this in regards to the band REM, not are we enjoying this in regards to this, the 6th season of our podcast, which is called Are We Enjoying This? And which you may or may not be enjoying. I'm Adam Scott Glasspool. I'm a big music nerd. I'm a big fan of REM. With me, as always, is someone who said they don't care about art or talking about art, doesn't often relate personally to music. It is, of course, Lucas Way.
Hello.
In the middle of that, we have someone who can appreciate context, art, and subject matter, and is just learning how to convey that in the form of words. It's Steve Murphy.
Bloody hell.
Bloody hell. It's only bloody Steve Murphy, isn't it?
Only bloody me.
Welcome back to the podcast, Stephen Lucas. How are you? There's a look of confusion.
Well, you used my intro for Steve. You used the different intros.
I did, yes. Well, we initially changed them to represent the newer ways in which we were kind of engaging with music that we've developed over the kind of 4 years that we've been doing this podcast, that we've spent as music critics, if you will. And now it's back to how it was because my boys... My sweet, sweet boys, you'll get the new ones back once you've earned them. How about that?
What? So you're basically saying is that on the last episode, we were both a level thicker than we have become.
I'm kicking you back. I'm kicking you back to the Stone Age.
How many inches thick have we become?
So thick. Oh, Steve, you're so many inches thick.
Oh, I'm so girthy.
We've been having some confusing chats about REM and about music in general. Lucas, in the last couple of episodes in particular, you seem kind of just gently baffled. And Steve, you've seemed to slightly struggle to put into words some of the more slippery aspects of the band. You both seem confused, but do you know who is more confused?
REM.
Me.
Oh, right.
Now, I'm okay. Not Peter what? Buck, okay? I'm not REM. I'm just right. Me. I don't know what you're talking about, okay? I've thought about all the stuff that we've discussed over the episodes that we've covered, like from Chronic Town to Fables of the Reconstruction. And I'm confused. I'm not confused by REM because I have a lot of context and history with the band, but I am confused by you. So I might ask some questions as we go through this episode, and it'll be a nice chance to kind of reflect on what we've learned about the band so far, if anything. Just so listeners know, on this podcast, we're exploring the entire discography of REM. And in the last few episodes, we've discussed the band's third album, Fables of the Reconstruction. Today, we're going to have a look at a live performance from around that time. You can watch along with us. We're literally going to watch it and talk over it. We're doing like an audio commentary almost. But also, you don't have to. It works totally fine without it. And bearing in mind all those things that I've just said, I have chosen a live show for us to watch that promises to iron out exactly zero of the issues that we've been facing.
That's good.
It's a excellent career-spanning but gently weird set list and an interesting performance from a band who, like you just said, Lucas, we all said seemed a bit confused about what they wanted to be during this period of their career. And also that performance is in front of an audience who seemed like they could not give less of a fuck about the band that are playing in front of them. Absolutely. Absolutely dead vibes on this one, guys. The room is not responding to REM.
It's what we want.
Whatsoever.
Yeah. It's what we're used to, isn't it? Just dead vibes from
our audience. Just dead vibes. I think in some regards, to focus on us before we focus on the band.
Always.
We are missing context. We're missing context. We're potentially missing some insight on the essence of the band.
Yeah.
Will this performance shed any light on either of those things?
No, but our special guest will, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Stipe.
Oh my God.
Hello.
Oh, hi, Michael. Michael, hello.
Oh, wow. Michael,
you sing so differently to your spoken voice.
Yeah, well, my voice is a bit embarrassing, to be honest. Yeah,
wow, I thought you were from America.
Yee-haw, like... I am.
Oh, yeah. No, that was on us, Adam. That was on us. That's ignorance from my mind.
Yeah,
wow, sorry. Welcome along. That's amazing. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get so flustered.
Oh, but, my internet is cut.
Oh, he's gone.
Is he? Oh, no. Because you didn't even say anything to
me. I think he said it was gone. I was flabbergasted. Well, and also, seeing my old bandmate, it took me back a bit. Because obviously, I didn't leave the band under good circumstances. But it sounds like his internet was cutting out or something. I don't know.
I heard you left because you loved Around the Sun. Is that what was going on?
We'll get to it. Maybe he'll jump back on. I don't know. Let's not wait.
We'll find out.
Maybe we'll find out when there's a bit of lulling conversation.
maybe if none of
we'll
us just, got
we'll see.
Say,
let's not wait around for him because you know we've got to record this. We've got another episode to record. Absolutely. After. We've got to record the Ultimate Playlist Christmas special after this. So you know,
this comes out in like August or something.
Yeah. Guys, wait, what? Listeners. This comes out in August of what year?
No, of course it
doesn't.
What are you
talking
about?
This
year. August of this year, Lucas.
That's impressive.
It comes out 3 months ago.
It comes out 3 months ago.
Listeners, the link to the video is in the show notes if you would like to watch along. Here we go. Follow our countdown. Hit play when I say play. Ready, guys? 3, 2, 1, play.
Play.
Oh, that starts immediately.
And again, I hit play at 3 so I could win.
Okay, good. You're going to get there before us. That's lovely.
At least 3 seconds.
What we're actually watching is another live performance that was broadcast.
This guy doesn't
TV.
Look like anyone is in REM.
He does, though. He looks like everyone in REM.
He looks like an amalgamation of all of REM. It was broadcast on German TV on the show Rock Palast, and this performance is from October the 2nd, 1985. So in the midst of that European reconstruction tour, the show is still going, by the way.
Rock Palast?
Yeah, Rock Palast is still going.
Right,
the REM show finished
they
after
never left.
90 minutes. Yeah,
that's why they broke up.
What do you think? What song do you think they'll open with? And I'd like you to think about that while you wrestle with the idea that their walk-on music is just train horns.
It's the train one. It's the train one from Fables of Reconstruction. It's the train.
I'm going to go
Driver 8.
I'm going to say Radio Free Europe because it's a song name. Because it's a song name that I remember.
Lots of feedback from Peter Buck there. An odd sort of sound. More train horn. I can't remember if we get more train horn.
Oh, I hope so.
Oh, I hope so as well. A moody opening.
Yeah.
Most people sort of walk on with a bit of pep.
I'm very excited for a zoom in a minute because what's Michael's hair doing? This is what's going to be exciting about the commentaries.
When does he shave? Choo-choo, motherfuckers.
When does he shave? But you've promised some haircuts.
Oh.
No. Of course it is. It's Feeling Gravity's Pull, the opening track from Fables.
Yes. Now,
of the reconstruction of the Fables of the reconstruction of the Fables of the reconstruction
something,
of the Fables.
Just briefly pause on... Okay, there's the hair. What is the hair doing?
It's like a... Bleached bowl cut?
It's bleached and very short, yes, which is very different to the long auburn locks.
Oh, it's not a bowl cut. It's just short. It's just short. Oh, he's taped a picture to his back?
Yeah. It's a moody opening.
I think he looks way cooler with short bleach blonde hair, to be honest.
He looks like Joe Talbot.
He does look like Joe Talbot. From Idols.
Yeah.
He does. And he's got a bit more of a performance kind of thing.
He's facing the wrong way. He does know the crowd's like to his right. No,
I think it's a deliberate choice, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's a bit more of a performance because I think the last couple we watched, he's very much just kind of like, I'm Michael Stipe and I'm standing here and I'm singing the songs and occasionally I'll dance.
Yeah.
This is much more of a performance, but there's a confrontationality to the performance, maybe. He sounds cool.
He does sound cool.
Something that I did not point out on the Fables episode about that riff is, because I don't think I'd actually properly realised, you've got that atonal, the... And then you've got the chugging. The other bits are harmonics. He's going like ping.
Or chugga chugga.
No. He's going ping. No, that's not a harmonic either.
Are you talking about the boo, that bit?
Yeah.
I think also the do 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 are harmonics as well.
They're not. No, they are plucked notes. They're just kind of atonal. So they ring differently, like together. Now, I said I was going to ask some questions along the way. Just briefly, help me understand some of this. Lucas, you didn't get any weirdness from Fables of the Reconstruction. Come on. This is a bit weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it helps to see it live and think, this wouldn't be good to see live, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I think it would be great to see live.
It helps to see live and be like, this is disarming, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. It's there you go, there's the harmonics.
I think live he's strumming, he's picking them, but I think on the record they're harmonics.
I could promise you that.
I can promise you. Who knows more about REM, you or the fucking bloke who's in them?
That's true.
What did I play in REM? What did I play in REM again?
Drums.
Drums.
Really, was it?
Yeah, it was drums. Okay. Weird that you're asking us. The thing that he has taped to his back is a picture of Ronald McDonald, by the way.
Ronald McDonald, yeah.
Which is great energy. That's great energy.
Do you think
energy.
He knows that?
That is...
Do you think one of them played a prank on him?
Maybe. He watched this back and was like, oh, guys.
Guys.
Why did you put Ronald McDonald on my back? That has some Mannix energy to it, doesn't it?
The pinning of pictures and spray painting of things.
And the idea
shirts.
That, like, it's Ronald McDonald, so he's probably making some kind of point about capitalism, but also it's not specific enough that you could be convinced that he is doing that, you know?
Yeah, it's like the Mickey Mouse t-shirt that JDB wore, right?
Right,
That sort of thing.
Yeah. Where it's just incongruous that he would be wearing a Mickey Mouse t-shirt. It's incongruous that, like, he's not taped Ronald McDonald to his jacket because he loves Mickey McDonald. Do you know what I mean?
Like, sorry, I just heard the sentence. He's not taped Ronald McDonald to his back because he likes Ronald McDonald, you know?
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right, Adam. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, come on, listen to how moody this is. From the guys that brought you, you know, fucking Don't Go Back to Rockville. This is bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, they should go into that
next. I hope they play that next. It was a good song, that.
So did we convince you of any
weirdness in Fables?
I think you convinced me on it in the sense of, like, again, and it's going to come down to a lot of it, like, academically you convinced me. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, you did a good job of explaining why it is a bit weird, but I still listen to the songs and I'm mostly like, I kind of did some songs. Do you know what I mean? They're not weird. Sure. We did a season on Radiohead, so, like, that's a bit weirder. So maybe, you know what I mean?
Yeah, never have I claimed they're as weird as Radiohead. Oh, my God,
song.
I tell you what.
They're playing a good song.
Such a moody opener with the cobwebs instantly blown away by Harbour Cove.
Yeah, better, I reckon.
And he's doing the most 80s boogie I've ever seen.
Yeah.
This is Springsteen
so
in the Dancing in the Dark video.
I didn't bring him up. I didn't bring him up. You did.
Yeah, but now I've brought him up.
Adam, how do you handle bleeping on commentaries?
I don't do it. But we are, I think, okay, from this episode forward, we will obviously bleep Bruce Springsteen. Unless it comes up in actual context, right? Because they do work together.
That's fine. Yeah, that's okay. Fine. But if you just want to talk about the fact that you got fucking Bruce Springsteen tickets some more.
I mean, I did get.
Yeah, I'm not interested.
Yeah, I didn't.
Okay, cool. So.
Adam, that might be good for you, mate. But did you get Fight Star tickets?
I didn't. No, did you?
Yeah.
Yay! Good one.
Bam, 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 bam. Oh,
oh man.
This song is great. I don't know why they. Well, I do know why they don't open with this. It's because they want to be weird.
Yeah,
yeah.
So yeah, like I kind of you kind of explained it all academically, but largely if I went and listened to the songs and tried to like forget what you told me, I'd still largely listen to me like songs. Do you know what I mean?
Are you of the position that the Holy Bible is a weird album?
Yes, but
put
not...
Put a pin in it. Put a pin in it. That's fine. We'll just put a pin in that. That's all good. Steve,
yeah.
Something you mentioned on the Murmur and Reckoning episodes...
I'm sorry, I'm laughing at you. It's dancing. I'm not laughing at you. This is great.
You were going to have to get used to a more incremental change or shift between albums rather than, you know... OK Computer to Kid A. But these two back-to-back.
Yeah, yeah.
Feeling Gravity's Pull, followed by Harbour Coat, they're actually kind of worlds apart, aren't they?
Massively different, yeah. Like, it's a real dissonant sort of vibe happening in Fables. Especially, like, the way the album opens. Did I say that in the Fables of Reconstruction episode?
No, you didn't. Yeah. You didn't. I just wanted to check in, because we didn't check in on it.
I think because between the... Betwixt the the first two albums, you just kind of get that natural progression of it sounds a bit more produced, a bit more cohesive, and it's like not anything
similar
drastic.
Songwriting, isn't it?
Yeah,
similar instrumentation and stuff.
A massive left turn for Fables. Yeah, I found that tough, like very tough. Like whereas the others seem way more immediate.
Yeah,
but even then, I don't know. I said they weren't.
Yeah, you said they weren't immediate.
It
but they're immediate
longer...
compared to Fables.
Yes.
Is the thing.
It's almost like the stage persona is shifting based on what album they're performing from, because he's suddenly like
absolutely.
Dancing
different
and and then the one before, he's like, I'm not even going to look at you, audience.
Yeah.
He's an absolute Charmeleon. 100%.
Yeah. Okay. What?
No. What? He's like red and breathes fire and sort of.
No, he's one of those toads that can go invisible. Is that what they are?
What? Now, what's a toad that can go invisible?
It's Charmeleon, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
So, yeah, someone who blends in with any environment. An invisible frog, if you were. Michael Stipe, famously, if he comes back on, I'm going to ask him about the invisible frog comparison, because I think he'll like it.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah.
He does also like being compared to a crazy frog as well, so make sure you bring
that. Does he?
Okay, does he?
He worked on that, didn't he? Didn't he work on that? We'll ask him.
I think he's got an exec producer credit, which is kind of...
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah. I'll tell you what it was.
That last song, Harbour Coat, was off the second album, right?
That's right. And we've gone back in time again, because this is Sitting Still from Murmur. And I think you can tell it feels less anthemic and more punky than the previous track. Now that we're three albums in, are we getting an idea that there are changes between the albums rather than all just being the same kind of thing?
Yeah, I think one and two have a lot more similarities than three. 100%.
Yeah,
100%. And what I kind of meant to say earlier is that one and two were more immediate in were less immediate than I was used to in terms of like getting it. Third, it was less immediate in liking it, like because I went in immediately thinking I didn't like it, and then I kind of liked it a bit.
Yeah, I mean, like it a bit. Let's not go, I got it,
but I didn't. I liked it, but I didn't get it. Is like the first couple.
Here's a genuine question about this podcast.
Yeah,
What has Steve not liked? Like album, an album,
drones,
Postcards from a Young Man, drones,
and Postcards
Absolution.
From a Young Man. No,
you didn't dislike Absolution.
5.5 now.
No, Absolution. You bumped up to like a 7 or something.
Oh, did it?
Because I was like, Steve, you called that album dull, and you were like, yeah, 7 out of 10.
Yeah, because then I remembered all the songs in it. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
Oh, there's been songs and stuff. I'm trying to remember if there's any albums Steve has actively gone, don't like.
Yeah, Postcards and Drones, I think, are the two. And I think there's another one, but I can't quite remember what it is.
Miseducation, Lauryn Hill. He described it as shite, didn't he?
Yeah.
Tell you what, though, outside of Muse, what have I really disliked? Couple of Manics albums.
Postcards from a Young Man.
Yeah, a couple of Manics albums, and there's a couple of REM albums that I dislike.
Yeah, but that's unsurprising because you're the host, and so I don't think it's going to be unlikely for us to bring something that you actively dislike, because it'd be quite hard for us to then actually have anything to say about it, because you're the man with the knowledge and the experience.
I will say that I tend to... I was thinking about this the other day. I tend to just like things. I was looking at my music board. There's no negative reviews on there at all. I've reviewed 200 albums on there.
This is the thing, I guess, well, from that perspective and this podcast perspective, let's start with the podcast one, is that we are covering good artists, right?
Yeah, I think that's probably
and,
fair.
And well-renowned artists. So there's a good chance I'm going to like a hell of a lot of it.
Just the main podcast, because we've done some shit on the Ultimate Playlist.
Oh, absolutely, but we're not rating out of 10. And then in terms of your music board and stuff, Adam, you're probably not choosing to put on...
Drake.
The Offspring.
No, but I listen to a lot of the new releases, you know?
But that's because... No, the reason why you like
but
them...
But do you only listen
you're...
to the ones...
That... No. The reason that you like them is because you're really cool.
Because I'm really cool. Like new music.
But do you only listen to new releases that you at least have some interest in? Do you listen to the newest Lewis Capaldi album?
I'll tell you what, there is a negative review on my music board, and it's when last year I listened to the new Black Eyed Peas album.
Mm, there you go.
That was a
I gave
new
it one.
One
star.
But yeah, like, yeah, but do you listen to all new albums, or do you listen to only new stuff that you also feel like you will like? Because, I mean, yeah, do you listen to the new Lewis Capaldi album or the new Ed Sheeran album?
I haven't, but I will. November and December are my big music listening months to see what's kind of out there and stuff. Yeah.
Why November and December?
Stuff it all in before the end of the year, right?
Because then you know like what's come out in the year. You can put it into some kind of context about what was happening.
Then you can be really depressed for Christmas.
Hey, Maps and Legends.
Hey.
Remember that I said the production of this was too murky for me to fully appreciate the song on the album, right? Do you remember that?
Yeah. And I was going to say, I wonder how the Fables songs are going to sound exactly the same as the other songs, production-wise.
Right. Well, do you remember I said there was a live version that I preferred because it just lifted it out of the kind of murk of it?
Hey, is it this one?
No.
Oh, okay.
I think this one's fine.
Yeah, okay.
I think it more or less just sounds like the album.
Yeah.
No, the one I like is from Perfect Square, where they start to have numerous musicians on stage.
Oh,
so
cool,
it's not
okay.
just the four of them. It's they have like... An extra guitarist, they have a keyboard player, you know, adding to the sound.
Yeah.
What were we just talking about? Yeah. Okay. Right.
You listening to music and you liking
music.
No, we're past that. I'm bored of that. Lucas, do you see the kind of the difference that Steve has just been talking about from through albums 1, 2, and 3?
Yes, and I did. I recognised that on the episode. I just again boiled down to. I was bored by the songs, though, so it's still hard for me to really have as much to say about it. You know, reverting to season one type was I was like, that's all well and good, but yeah. But the difference is that the Holy Bible, I was wrong, whereas I don't think I'll turn round on Fables of the Reconstruction of the Fables of the Reconstruction of the Fables.
We don't know, man. We don't know. Maybe we'll find out in 3 years' time.
I do wonder if there's a bit of like, because the Holy Bible has a real thing about it. Whereas
it's got such a vibe.
Fables of Reconstruction was they went in and they kind of had a bad time recording it. Whereas Manix had a bad time recording it.
Same for the Holy Bible, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
But then there's all the other stuff around the Holy Bible. The very much the brain of Richie and stuff like that. Whereas we didn't have that kind of thing for Fables. I'm not comparing Fables of Reconstruction.
I don't know. Well, I think they're interesting, and I'll come on to why they're interesting in comparison later on. But I think that. The Fables does have a thing, and I don't think it's dissimilar to the Holy Bible thing. The Holy Bible has a vibe. It's focusing in on very specific subjects, and they're quite dark subjects. I think Fables has that because it's focusing in on very specific kind of like vibes of Southern Gothic, and Southern Gothic is inherently kind of dark, right?
Yeah.
I think it's interesting that both bands did quite light pop rock albums, like Rams 1 and 2, and then both went, we want to be dark and weird now.
Yeah.
And also, just to say, I think Fables is way less successful at that than the Holy Bible.
Which was reflected in our scores, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But,
I don't know how much of that was actually what the band didn't want to do, though. The Holy Bible, I think they set out to do exactly what
that's true
came out, whereas they were like,
so
I
you're
didn't
talking
like
about like intention.
Intention, yeah.
Yeah.
So that I think that had it against it as well. Maybe like
I think they definitely went in and said like, well, we don't want to make something like Murmur or Reckoning again. And to be fair, they didn't.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You know?
It's true.
Yeah.
Well no, because it wasn't called Murmur or Reckoning.
Oh.
Are you sure, Lucas? Check it again.
Check it
again.
He's going to go on the internet. I've replaced every reference to Fables of the Destruction with either Murmur or Reckoning.
Yeah.
A new song, which we, by this point, have all heard. It's called Fall on Me.
Oh, yeah.
But he hasn't figured out the verse melody yet. So that verse melody was different. This one makes more sense.
Oh, really?
But is so much less interesting than the recorded version.
Okay.
I mean, and this isn't giving away anything about my thoughts on the next album, because I haven't had enough listens to have a strong, you know, to have anything of a thought. But the fact that I go, when you said, oh, we've already heard this, and I'm like, yeah, I guess so, maybe. I don't know. Because of the whole thing about them not sinking in they're not immediate, you know? There's not that immediate thing of, yeah, I recognise this one because it's a fucking slaps, you know what I mean?
It is a bit of a spoiler towards your thoughts in my IMO.
Yeah, in my IMO as well, because the next one, famously, their most accessible immediate one yet. And also, this was the biggest hit of this era for them.
But also, but like, very few albums I get that with, that immediateness. I have to listen to albums a lot. Fair, that's just how I am with music. Yeah. Unless there's songs, obviously, I go, holy shit, I love this song immediately, and I'm going to listen to it again, you know? But like, for the most part, that isn't how music goes into my brain noggin hole.
Your brain.
That is something that I was going to ask you, and I think it reflects on the conversation that we were just having, which is in the intro episode for this season, Lucas. You said you were expecting a bunch of normal rock songs, and that you were here for it. That's the quote. Your critique of a lot of it so far has been these are just a bunch of normal rock songs, and on the whole, you have not been here for it.
Yeah,
so what kind of normal songs were you expecting, and how do they differ from the normal songs that you got?
I hate how much we're comparing to Manix and the Manix season. It feels lazy, especially people who didn't listen to them.
They're such a small band as well that a lot of our listeners won't have that reference point.
Yeah, but
see if you can do it without.
There's normal rock songs that are. That's going to sound really negative. There's normal rock songs that are really good and enjoyable that I just go, hell yeah, I really enjoy that song. And then there's normal rock songs that don't exist. Do you know what I mean?
Do you think it's riffs?
Like. I think it's anthem bait, you know, that sort of big or something like that, you know. I'm trying to think of different bands now.
REM are maybe too small for you.
What, small sonically, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Or not small enough. They haven't got like some little, you know, they're not small because they're soft, lovely, beautiful songs or something. They're just like small,
a subtle,
maybe.
Yes, you have asked us to stay away from Lucas only likes big things sort of stuff. Because
yeah, because it's not
tell
true,
the whole story. Well, here we are, 3 albums in, nothing big yet. But I will say, album 4, huge.
But then Radio,
very, very big.
But then to use the Radiohead comparison, loads of Radiohead isn't big or small. It's just kind of doing its thing, right?
Disagree, man. The Bends is huge. OK Computer is very big. Kid A isn't, but it's beautiful.
Yeah, but not every... Daydreaming off of...
Beautiful.
Moonship, slow and beautiful, right? And then you've got, I don't know, Full Stop off of that same album. It's kind of middle. It's not...
Yeah.
And I like that song.
Yeah,
that's
not...
I don't nothing that song just because it's not big or small sort of thing. It's a good song.
Right.
Or, I don't know, Weird Fishes arpeggi is neither big nor small.
Huge. That's a big song.
I guess for Radiohead it is.
I think that's interesting because you're picking out specific examples, but we're talking about REM in general. You just haven't responded to them in general. Actually, that's not fair because Reckoning you did like.
Yeah, it took me a while, but again, I liked it, but I didn't love it. There's no songs on there where I was like, fucking yes, though, like big time, you know?
Well, I mean, I've definitely seen some correlations to what we have on this episode referred to as BSO or BSOE, you know, Big Season 1 Energy. What's really interesting, and look, I'm going to briefly talk about them. I don't need you to come back on this, okay? I don't need you to say the thing that we always say, all right? What's really interesting to me is that your scores, Lucas, have been the same. 5, 6, 3. Those were your initial scores for the Manic season, and those are the scores. I know 6.5 for Reckoning, but I think if we didn't have 0.5s available like we didn't for the Manics, you would go cautious and go 6.
100%.
So 5, 6, 3, those are your Manic scores. Those are your REM scores here at the moment. The scores are whatever. They don't tell the whole story. I think that's an excellent point. But your criticisms of Fables of the Reconstruction specifically have been bang on the same as your initial criticisms of the Holy Bible, which is that we told some stories about the songs and you went, oh, that's interesting. But ultimately, they are laid over another boring rock song. That's what you kept saying about the Holy Bible. It's just another boring rock song. It's exactly what you said about the Holy Bible, which I think is really interesting because they are both bands that you have basically zero familiarity with and a very, very long discography, right? And by the time we got to album 14, you understood album 3 a little bit better. You understood album 1 and 2 a little bit better, and they went down in your estimation.
Oh, yeah.
I'm wondering if we get to album 15 on this, and you're going to understand the band so much more, you know?
Maybe, but I
sensed a little bit of you being disheartened by Fables of the Reconstruction, right?
My gut tells me though that I just think the actual sonics and intricacies of the songs I won't come round to as much as I did with.
I'm not suggesting that you come round to them. I'm not suggesting you like them anymore. You might like them less. I'm suggesting you'll understand them better with all the context in place. You got a little bit disheartened. You said, you know, this is not how I felt about the Manics 3 albums in. It is how you felt about Radiohead 3 albums in. After OK Computer, you were on record as saying, I don't like them as people. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, as they people. Yeah, that was different. That was the documentary where they were being gloomy boys.
But
right?
They weren't your boys. That's the thing.
Can I just interrupt and say that Green Grow the Rushes sounded really good?
So does Driver 8, and here it is.
I would say, Adam, despite how much I fucking love them, and they're probably the best band we've covered.
Still not your boys.
I wouldn't consider Radiohead my boys, no.
Yeah, absolutely. So they're
Manics! Yes. Boys. They're my boys.
But their music is not as good as Radiohead.
No,
so I think them being your boys is doing a lot of the heavy lifting for Manics, and the music is doing a lot of heavy lifting for Radiohead. And it's going to be really interesting to see where REM fit on the boys to talent scale that you have going on.
Oh, look at them. Because then obviously Muse are fully my boys.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And they're the worst band we've covered.
And... I don't know. I definitely by this point of Manics though had an affection towards them. You know, I had a thing.
I think you liked them more as characters because like Nicky would do something ridiculous or say something insane.
Yeah.
We don't know anything about these guys still. Maybe.
Michael Stipe singing, Peter Buck guitar,
yeah,
Bill Berry on drums,
yeah,
yep,
and.
We are the internet's premier. Who is it?
Dan Dillon.
We know him. We love him. Your friend of
Wally
mine.
Wally West.
Mike Mills.
Mike Mills.
And there he is. Look at him. Look, I agree. The whole thing about Manics is that they're very easy to flanderize because they are so outward with their personality. And
well,
we are confrontational.
Sean Moore's not. Sean Moore's kind of just there.
No, he's not just there. He is very specifically like not there. Do you know what I mean? Like he quiet. REM don't have that for the first couple of albums. I think you can see here a bit more of the personalities leaking through, especially from Michael Stipe. Look at him go.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for Michael, yeah.
Yes, go on.
Not Michael.
Yeah, exactly. Bill Berry's a bit of a short war in that he's just, I play the drums and you need to leave me alone.
Yes, and you would leave him alone. If you met this guy with his sleeves ripped off, unibrow and mullet in an alley, I mean, we might kiss. But then I'd run away.
And then, of course, Peter Buck is a bit like grumpy, but kind of like this weirdly influential like guitarist who is bringing like... These are soft songs, Lucas, yeah, right? They're kind of like small songs. And yet he's bringing like this kind of weird amount of aggression to
them. Yeah, he's quite angry.
It's that thing
about
that Bono said. He has like this fuck off energy.
I was going to ask who said he has a presence of fuck off. It was Bono from U2.
First name Bon, surname O.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which stands for
good
orange. It stands for orange.
He's married to Sandra.
It's good. It is good. Yeah. It is good.
From the yes?
No, that's Karen O.
Oh, Sandra. Different O. Sandra O is the Asian actress. Indie films and stuff.
Something, isn't it? Killing Eve, isn't she in that?
That's recent.
Steve, a 1-2 punch of Green Grow the Rushes and Driver 8.
Loved
it. I think were kind of two of your highlights there.
Yeah.
Steve, in the introduction episode, you wanted your introduction to include Cool Guy. But you haven't done any skateboard tricks or anything.
Are you joking?
What? So hang on, have you been doing skateboard tricks?
Are you kidding me?
Have you? Sorry. No, I'm genuine.
You have not realised that I am so cool. I look so composed up top, but my feet are
going... Are you doing loads of tricks?
They're going nuts. I'm doing an ollie right now. Yeah?
Okay.
I'm going to do a melon grab in a minute. Watch.
Guys.
You see that?
I don't think she likes it.
Guys. Guys, I just looked up Sandra Oh's filmography.
Oh, of course. Yeah,
the thing I was forgetting that she's primarily in is she's in Grey's Anatomy.
Of course she is, yeah. Jesus.
But
haven't you watched like a lot of Grey's Anatomy?
Yeah, my wife loves it. I've watched up to like season 11 and then we stopped.
Humble brag?
I actually want to keep going, not because I love it, but because I feel like weird that I've watched 11 seasons of a show, but I'm not going to watch it to the end. That feels like dirty and wrong.
Right.
Even though objectively, that's a better use of my time is to not watch it. Just weirdly relevant to this season and the episode of this podcast that we released just a couple of days ago is that something else that Sandra Oh is in, being the Ultimate Disaster Movie.
Wow.
Lovely.
Okay.
Lovely.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
We can't really talk about much about this song, Hyena, that's on at the moment, but this is...
Because it's on the next album, yeah.
Yeah, this is quite an aggressive performance, which is what it sounds like on the album. So I'm pleased.
Record, yeah.
I'm pleased that... I mean, he looks like Sid Vicious.
Yeah, he does.
Right?
He looks so cool.
Yeah.
It's mad that the audience are stood there just absolute stone face, and after each song go like,
yes,
and that's it, because
another
they're giving
song
so much energy. I was
all right when Gen Z uses Gen Z slang here going, oh, they're the, just giving yeah. they're giving energy.
when he gets frustrated with audiences. When I saw them in Southampton, after a song he said something akin to like, I'm giving off energy and you're giving nothing back. This is a two-way street.
Yeah,
which
fair.
Which was really interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if there was a reason it was their last tour.
It's giving diva.
Yeah.
Okay. It is giving diva.
Wait, hang
it
on.
It is giving diva.
You just said you saw them in Southampton, but it was
Rose
their last
Bowl,
ever
baby.
Tour. Oh, I was going to guess.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Go and guess.
Sorry. Go guess. Sorry.
Go and guess.
No. I was trying to think of what size venue is in Southampton.
Oh, sorry. Just did a hill flip.
REM REM size. Because as soon as you said they played a gig in Southampton, I pictured the Guildhall. But obviously
they're
not playing that, are they?
Yeah. No, not by 2008.
Yeah, no, the Rose Bowl. So, very near my house.
Yeah, where you saw Arctic Monkeys. Absolutely.
Yeah, recently, yeah.
Absolutely. Anyway, sorry. I found the comparisons between your critiques on those two seasons, which are very long and unfamiliar to you, interesting. And I'm wondering how much familiarity plays a part in music listening. You know?
We know this. We have established
we know
that familiarity
this.
Definitely helps me. But also, I have gotten better at first impressions, because I think season one Lucas would have said nothing to the whole Lauryn Hill season. I would have gone, what's this? But I didn't. I had I enjoyed plenty of it, and even the stuff I didn't enjoy, I had much more of like an academic appreciation for, even if certain songs didn't do it for me. So the fact that I've reverted back to season one type this season is interesting, because I've not just like fucking took a bat to the head and like lost some brain points. Today, I've noticed myself today, I can't get a fucking sentence out. I tried to record an ad that we're doing. Yeah. I can't get words out. And honestly, people were calling me out. I was in a meeting at work earlier, and people were literally taking the piss out of me because I couldn't get words out. I was just like stumbling. Gotten a bit dumb.
Right, man. I think you're about to hit on something which I think is interesting, which is reference points. And we've talked about not really having a reference point for REM. Like, for instance, when I asked you, could you name another band that sound like them? You just said no. So, I mean, that does call into question how normal they are if you cannot name another band that sound like them. But also, you have to reach way into the past, like before REM, or the future to sound to find bands that sound like REM, I think, or like famous bands that sound like REM. But in other seasons, you've had those reference points, like the Lauren season. You didn't. You kind of didn't have reference points for the Lauren season.
No, I didn't.
Right?
I really didn't.
But what you did was you took my word for it, I think. You took my word on it, and you gave her props because you knew it was wholly unfamiliar to you. And from my perspective, we've either returned to big season one energy, which is I don't really care about the context, or we've reached an interesting new position, which is, because I have not seen it personally, it doesn't matter. And I'm wondering if, because you have more of a grasp on what rock music is than you did on what soul and hip-hop is, because you can't personally see the roots that go from REM to everything that we listen to in the alternative rock universe, you're kind of a bit more sceptical on it. I don't want to put words in your mouth there, but that's what I was thinking.
I don't know. It's not sceptical, because that implies like an intention, you know, that I am like... Whereas it's not, I don't know what it is. Because, yeah, with Lauryn Hill, I'm not familiar with the genres, I also, like, I know what old rap music sounds like. I know what 2000s Destiny's Child sounds like. And I can hear something being done in the middle there by Lauryn Hill. I can hear that, sonically. Whereas
I'm
going to
interrupt you there, Lucas. You know what classic rock sound like. And you know what modern rock sounds like.
Does this sound like White Snake?
But I guess maybe I would have... It's interesting because it almost took me by surprise. I don't know if it was in the intro episode or the first episode, you know, of an album we did or something, when you played me some bits. And I expected it all to be classic rock. Right? I expected you to go, this is what music sounded like. And you'd play The Who. Not The Who, that's a bit too old. You'd play like some real fucking dad rock.
Yeah.
And you didn't. You played... You played an area of music that I'm just wholly unfamiliar with, which is
80s rock.
80s
rock. 80s mainstream rock.
But
yeah.
not dad rock. Not that, like, you know, before this, all music was Status Quo and Iron Maiden, you know?
And that's the thing I'm talking about, reference points, is that classic rock, that's 60s and 70s, okay? And modern rock is, you
but
know...
But there was 70s. There was definitely plenty of that in the 70s as well. It went into the 70s, didn't it?
That's why I said 60s and 70s, I reckon.
South Central Rain sounded good. And I'm just going to do a quick Christ air, and then you guys can carry on.
Okay. Wait, what's that? Huh? Okay, I've just seen Steve's eyes go in a certain direction that means I know he's looked stuff up. So
Christ air is you ollie off the ramp, and then you press right, circle.
Correct, yeah. And he goes, dring!
Oh.
I've got
No, because it wasn't a special. Actually, no, it'd be right, circle, actually, I think. It wasn't a special. Christ air is not special.
Guys, can you identify this song?
Have you ever seen the rain?
The thing is, right, I was going to bring this up. I find it really funny when these titles come up at the bottom, because that's what just happened. It came up immediately. Because it's somebody looking it up. Like, that's what it seems like when you're watching a live performance. They're like, oh,
or
shit.
Mate, or they've been given the set list ahead of time.
But sometimes it's like halfway through the song, it's like, it's this one.
Well, I used to always notice that with Reading, when Reading would be broadcast TV, is that it would be like halfway through the song and it suddenly pop up being like, weird fishes, arpeggi.
Yeah, and it's like someone's finally realised. Yeah,
they're making sure, and there's one instance here where they do a cover that is not on the set list, and the hyphen comes up like after you can hear the chorus, where they go, right, okay, that's what it is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is a cover of Have You Ever Seen the Rain by Creedence Clearwater Revival. My favourite Creedence Clearwater Revival. And they are, Lucas, classic rock 60s and 70s.
Guess what? I could probably name one song.
Bad Moon Rising, something like that.
Okay, I can name two songs.
Nice.
Fortunate Son.
Fortunate Son, obviously. Fortunate Son.
How does that one go?
The theme tune to the Vietnam War, obviously.
Yes, it was. Yes, that's right.
Well, it's used in every single bit of fiction to do Vietnam War, isn't it?
They've got loads that you would recognise.
Maybe.
We're going to go into this a bit on the next episode, right? Classic rock, like you would recognise. And I'm going to put into that kind of camp the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. And we'll put Creedence in there. And we'll put The Who in there. That was 60s and 70s, not cool in the 80s at all.
Yeah, the Beatles became the old guys, which I can't.
That's your fucking dad's music.
Yeah,
man.
That's so weird.
Remember we talked about this during one of the seasons?
Yeah.
The reappraisal of the Beatles happened in the 90s.
When Oasis and stuff came in, right?
Well, it was when those anthology records came out and they were like in-depth, multiple CD video cassette releases of behind the scenes Beatles stuff. That's when people went, oh, wait, are the Beatles really good?
It's they're very much the Thunderbirds of the music era, aren't they? Which was out in the 60s and really popular. They're out in like came out in the 60s and were really popular with our dads and then kind of got forgotten. And then in the 90s kind of had this resurgence and became really popular.
Yeah. How many years?
It's very much the Thunderbirds.
It's a 30-year cycle though, isn't it?
And now my thing is that the kind of classic music, and I think you have to trend a little bit more.
You've
got to
do the voice. You've got to do Jeremy Clarkson's voice
in the world. Oh,
because Jeremy Clarkson definitely like loves, I don't know, like fucking
Status
Eagles.
Quo.
Status Quo.
His favourite band of The Who. Do you remember that episode of Top Gear where they were roadies for The Who?
No.
Huge Brexit energy on that fucking episode, I tell you right now.
Was it quite good though?
Yeah, it was quite good. The classic, and you've got to kind of step into folk classic. For R.E.M., which is kind of like Bob Dylan, kind of like Fleetwood Mac a little bit, the Birds and the Monkees that we talked about, right? Like the classic pop, classic rock, classic folk. That's where they're pulling from. It's a genre that is kind of 20 years behind them, but they're also incorporating this new music, and that's what's kind of exciting about them. And it's interesting to me that you don't have that reference point, because I know you know classic rock, because you talk about classic rock, and I know you know modern rock, because you keep picking modern rock to go on the ultimate playlist.
But a lot of these artists you keep specifically mentioning aren't artists I'm familiar with at all. It's almost like I'm aware of the 60s and the early 70s, and then maybe there's a gap until we get to...
I'm talking about the 60s and 70s. I'm talking about the stuff that you've just said you're familiar with, and that's what REM are pulling from.
The Beatles, etc.
Beatles, Rolling Stones. I think you're probably less familiar with with the Birds and
I've
stuff.
Never
but that's why
to
I played you some.
I've never listened to a Rolling Stones album in my life.
Well, that's interesting.
I don't know anything about the Rolling Stones.
They're contemporaries of the Beatles. Oh, this bit. This bit.
Paint
of
it black.
Can't get there from here. And his fucking.
Should I read? Do I love Fables?
Paint It Black.
It's great. You know Paint It Black?
Honestly, massive blank spot for me is the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, no, fair. But you know the kind of music that they make, right? You know, like they're like a blues rock, classic rock kind of band, right?
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting though, because this is my point, is you're not taking my word for it on a lot of stuff. Because you're quite familiar with rock music, REM are doing what Lauryn Hill did, where, you know, there's an older style of hip-hop, there's a newer style of hip-hop, and Lauryn Hill was right there in the middle, taking influence from one and pushing influence into the other. It's exactly what REM are doing, but you seem less content to go like, oh shit, that's interesting. We have returned to that season one energy, which is like, that's interesting, it's boring, you know?
I think the thing about the Lauryn Hill example is when you said, like, I know what came before and I know what came after, and so I can draw that through line. Knowing what came before, for me, though, probably comes down to me also enormously oversimplifying a whole genre by going, Run DMC.
Yeah, right, okay, cool.
Yeah?
Have you considered Run DMC?
That's what old rap sounded like.
I have to say, actually, just to get into the weeds on that a little bit, I don't think she takes loads of influence from old rap. It's
no,
like
but
old
I'm not. But I'm saying, but obviously,
stuff,
no.
Right?
But I'm saying that's what I imagined as earlier rap was that sort of thing. And then you hear, like I say, the example of the sort of music that you can hear was influenced by some of the Lauryn Hill stuff, mm-hmm. and I can hear that through line. But because I'm maybe almost more familiar with, you go, oh, but they're pulling from like the Eagles or whatever. And I'm like, oh, okay, not an example, but you know, if you said that, I go, I don't know who that is because I don't know, because I can't like just take older rock music and just put it into this like lump that I know or that I can flanderize or simplify because there's so many different bits and bobs.
That performance, yeah. Sorry, I can't get there from here, was excellent.
It's really cool, isn't it?
Yeah?
Yeah.
Unlike the crowd.
It was pretty raucous.
Off a mid-album.
Yes, so raucous that Mike Mills has broken his bass.
And spine.
Yeah, so they're having to kind of like, they're like, look at Peter Buck. He's like, what's going on here?
Oh, yeah.
Michael Stipes is, there you go, Mike Mills shows he's broken his bass.
Broken his string.
What do you do? What do you do if you're a professional band?
Oh, he's supposed to
now. Michael Stipe just says hi, yeah. Which is
you
like
borrow you borrow a bass off someone from the band that was on before you or after you.
No, Peter Buck's like this is what you do when everything goes wrong. We're just going to do a quick cover, not planned. They're not sure what key it's in. Really stumbling around with this, right? it's such a funny King of the Road.
Yeah, what the hell?
Because they're a bar band, and this is such a classic song, and they love this shit. They love playing songs like this, which are just kind of, you would assume, beneath them. You would assume they're beneath a band like REM. These kind of like,
yeah,
kind of like bubblegum, kind of pop kind of songs, but they're all for it. Mike Mills, King of the Road comes up. Mike Mills has got his bass fixed, and he just instantly joins in. Because they're fucking professionals. They're vamping. They're a bar band, you know?
And I love that he's still doing the Stipe, hang on the road.
Yeah, exactly.
You say he's got his bass fixed. He's got a different bass.
He's got a different bass.
Borrowed it off one of the other bands. I do worry. Hey. We're having such an in-depth conversation about the nature of my relationship with REM and how I'm responding to them and all this sort of stuff on an episode that a lot of people won't listen to, I reckon.
Yeah, sure,
this is what we've got to do, guys. We've got to make the commentary episodes essential. Yeah. They're essential listening.
So when we list this, let's not just put...
Seven Chinese Brothers.
No, let's not just put Fables of the Reconstruction commentary. Let's put... In-depth
intimate
chat about
discussion about
really good episodes.
Yeah. Why don't we just call the podcast What Is Music?
We could do.
What? So we call it What Is Music, Season 6, Episode 8, What Is Music?
I think that's a good idea.
Stephen does a quick 900 and then carries on.
Oh, wow.
You don't even notice it.
Completely.
Did you know that the 900 has been surpassed and the 1080 has been achieved?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I saw a 8-year-old or 9-year-old do a 900 on the internet the other day.
Man.
Insane.
I remember Tony Hawk's was considered.
Does that mean that like human beings have just got better?
I watched a really sad kind of video. It was a cool video. You might have seen it. It was like Tony Hawk's doing the last
720.
Yeah, the 720.
It was only a 720.
Last time.
Yeah, he wasn't even a 900. He can't do that anymore. Yeah. It was him like desperately trying to see if he could still do a 720, and he managed to do it, and he was really pleased because he's like, will that even ever happen?
He's 100 years old now, isn't he? That's the thing. Yeah.
I love the thing of that Tony Hawk, people always say to him, he looks like Tony Hawk.
Yep.
Yes, that's good. Yeah.
And at that point, there must become a bit that some people know he's Tony Hawk, but just say, you look like Tony Hawk.
They're playing Seven Chinese Brothers, by the way, and it sounds really fucking good.
Yeah.
Is that a sequel to the film where the seven wives for seven brothers?
Yes, seven wives for seven sisters, isn't it?
Seven wives for seven brothers.
Is it? Is it not Seven Sisters? Oh, Seven Sisters is the thing by the Isle of Wight. No? No, not the Isle of Wight. Down by me. Down by Brighton.
What are you
doing? Seven Sisters. Yeah. So
Seven Wives for Seven Brothers is an old Seven Wives for Seven Brothers is an old Western.
Yes, you're right.
But, so where does this come in the sequence to... Well,
is that what seven, is five, is that, is seven... This is five seven Chinese before... Brothers, is Seven Chinese Brothers later?
Seven Chinese Brothers is five before 12 Monkeys. And then Ocean's 11 comes before that.
Yeah. And Ocean's 12 was obviously like sort of the sister film to 12 Monkeys.
Where does 7
Monkeys
fit in?
Well, it's number 7, isn't it?
Yeah.
But so is this, surely.
Yeah, but Chinese Brothers has more words, so that it's 7,
so it's
colon.
7, colon, Chinese Brothers.
Yeah. 8.
Hey, look, there's Mike Mills playing a chord
that's Ocean's
on the
8,
bass,
isn't it? Yeah,
which I think is really interesting.
Or the Hateful Eight.
I think we have not had someone who plays chords on the bass before.
No.
Which I think is cool.
Have you considered the Magnificent Seven, though? We forgot about that.
Not recently.
It goes 7:7: Chinese Brothers, the Magnificent Seven.
Yeah.
Was another colon? Seven.
No, the Magnificent colon 7.
Oh, God. Star Wars Episode 2 is the second one.
Anyway, Lucas, look, the thing I'm dancing around that I think is interesting.
What, dancing is, like Michael Stipe?
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. And isn't he dancing as well? He's an incredible mover. We have gone season one, very little sort of like critical analysis going on. It's just how I emotionally respond to the songs. And we've gone through season 2, 3, 4, 5. And I agree with you, but you have said you've grown in that time. And then suddenly season 6, we've reverted back to, I don't see the critical stuff. I'm purely vibes. What's happened here?
I don't know. Well, is there less critical stuff to pick up on? I don't know, because I've been giving you so much critical stuff, you know? You respond to REM in a vibes type way. You say that maybe the reason they're one of your favorite bands is all vibes.
That was something else I was really interested in. In the introduction episode, you said, hey, maybe REM for you are just your special boys and that's what it is. But then in subsequent episodes, you're like, I don't understand what it is that Adam likes about REM, and why can't it just be that?
Because you're more complex than that.
But also, have I not been giving you a lot of complex stuff in the songs and in the making of the albums to kind of listen to and react to?
Yeah, I mean, also, we've got to bear this in mind. All of this is based off of Fables of the Reconstruction of the Fables, because...
No, you really struggled with Murmur. You did.
But I also liked it, for the most part.
You gave it a 5.
that means it's good. No, it doesn't mean it's average.
Yes. Do you know what? I actually think I'm interested.
But I liked plenty of songs off it, didn't I? Is the thing.
Kind of. Yeah, I think so. But I'm interested in banning 5 as a score.
Yeah, shut up.
Because I think you have to commit to like 4.5 or 5.5. So it tells you a little bit of like how you feel about it.
There's a podcast I listen to where they when they're scoring stuff, they say in a world of no sevens, because they think 7 is a lazy score. But that 7 is that they're using 7 like we use 5 because scoring's fucked.
Demented.
Because because loads of fucking outlets, 7 means average, doesn't it? Because it's fucking scoring on the internet has gotten fucking ruined. If a movie gets a 70%, everyone considers that a fucking flop, when actually that's 70%. So that's a first on a degree, that is.
Yeah, you're right. I feel like I've been giving you a lot of stuff to react to, but you are very much back in season one, which is, yeah, but it kind of doesn't matter to me. Well, I'm paraphrasing you, and also I will take your answer off the air because we're about to hit the weird chorus followed by the surf rock bit of Auctioneer, Another Engine, that I'd quite like to listen to without you talking over it. We've got to talk over it, but I do think we should pay attention to it, because here it comes. Yes. Cool. Yeah. Anyway.
this sounds much better, doesn't it?
Yeah, much better. Much, much
it's
better.
Because
there's
it's
so
a
much more energy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a performance, and also it doesn't have the murky production. The vocals are a bit more up front. It's stripped back. There's no loads of reverb, loads of atmosphere on it. You can hear what they're doing, and it's getting straight to me, man. I much prefer this version.
Me too. I like this. Stipe. He's all over the stage. He's barely saying words. He's just...
Now, do you remember what I said about REM on the Reckoning episode? In regards to their live performances.
Was it they're a good band? You like the band?
I think I did say that.
Yeah. But
specifically what I said was, they saw themselves predominantly as a live band before they saw themselves as a recording
artist.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And I think you can see that, right?
Yeah. When I said about Murmur and you said, no, you struggle with Murmur, I think I was talking about Reckoning. I was mixing up my albums.
Right,
Reckoning,
okay.
I was more positive on. So really, you know...
We're talking about two albums.
We're talking about a blip. We're talking about a potential blip. Maybe...
Man...
I think
it's a blip, but from you already saying, like, not recognizing Fall on Me because it's a normal rock song about a bunch of normal rock songs, fills me with some doubt, because Life Switch Pageant is so much more immediate. It's such a different vibe for them, you know, and I'm hoping you get that from your listens, you know.
I reckon I'm going to come away from the season, my number one REM song is going to be Everybody Hurts.
Imagine, yeah. It's just like,
number two, losing my religion.
Yeah.
Number three,
hey,
Shiny Happy
what,
People.
We were just talking about reference points. I think you do have a reference point for this, because this live version, especially, is this not kind of big Holy Bible vibes?
This is.
I think, didn't I even make a comparison for this song to the Holy Bible?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But listen to that, man, with the feedback and the sparse riff and the bass.
It's almost like a little bit even further into the bleak. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is what, you know, when we reappraised the Holy Bible, that's what I ultimately said about it, was like, I almost wish it had gone harder. I almost wish the album made me want to kill myself. Do you know what
this
I mean?
Is something like, that we didn't talk about for Fables. Would you prefer it if it went all in on the old Mackenzie style of bleak?
Yeah, maybe.
Because I have to tell you, you called this song boring and shit.
Yeah, but at least maybe it'd be a vibe. But maybe it'd be a vibe, you know?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know.
On the album, this is I would say it's fairly boring.
I'd say it's dirgy, but I try and avoid boring as a criticism in general. Because, except Kahootek, which is fucking boring, isn't it?
But the last one, the auctioneer, it's one of my lowlights. I loved that performance. That is so different.
Yeah, yeah.
They're bringing something else. Have you noticed what Peter Buck's got hanging from his belt?
I know he's got something.
It's a little toy monkey.
It's a toy monkey. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it next week.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
I'm going to also bring my toy monkey onto the podcast.
Lucas, do you want to say hello?
It's what I call Lucas. Yeah.
Oh, and he's wearing tiny shorts. Is
the monkey or Peter Buck?
Bill Berry.
Oh, lovely. Well, you've got to have the flexibility in the room, you know.
Of course.
Anyway, you could maybe do a decent sort of like, you could do a decent idea of reference points for, if you started at the Holy Bible and went backwards, right, you would maybe hit this song by REM, and in the middle of that you have grunge. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So you could maybe look at grunge and go, hey, what's the thing they're pulling from before and where does it go? And you could maybe look at this song by REM and then the Holy Bible. That's a similar thing that you can do with Lauren there, like in the middle. Mm. A similar thing you can do with REM in general, you know?
And actually, to talk about grunge for a second, is when I talk about grunge, basically I'm talking about Nirvana. Really.
We're just talking about Nirvana, aren't we? I've read this criticism that like grunge doesn't really exist.
No, there is. Because like, there's like Pearl Jam, who are fitting grunge, and some others. The Dead is the Dead Kennedys someone?
It's a punk man. They're punk.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's others. Anyway, yeah, when I'm talking about grunge, I'm talking about Nirvana. And is a lot of that, if I had no context for Nirvana, would I go, is this boring? Do you know what I mean? Maybe, but because I have such a reference, because I completely get what's going on with Nirvana, because I'm very familiar with the brain of Kurt Cobain.
Alice in Chains? Sorry.
No, they're like, aren't they like old rock, aren't they?
I reckon.
Who's grunge? Should I still look up grunge?
Well, I'll tell you what, though. Can't you hear a bit
Soundgarden?
Of kind of Kurt Cobain's songwriting style in this song?
Though? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, 100%.
But it's almost like, because it's Nirvana taking it to such a further extent that you can hear that this is a man who's ready to top himself at any moment.
But like, I suppose my overarching point is, why no props for that this time round?
I don't know.
Interesting.
I feel like you're taking it personally.
Not at all. No. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me at all. What I think.
What if I called them wankers? What if I said they're a bunch of silly wankers?
Well, I'm gonna come round your house and kill you. I have said before. Look, the audience are just like, don't get it.
I'm not happy with the way Michael Stipe waved there, like a casual bad.
Well, he was saying like the song's finished. You can clap now. He's getting a bit fed up with them.
Okay.
Hey. This is one of your faves, Lucas. He's going to do a little bit of ironic patriotism here. He's pledging allegiance to the flag.
Look at him.
He's got his hand on his heart. This is the last track of Reckoning. This is Little America.
I assume that one was all right.
Oh, yeah.
It was your highlight on the album.
Big Little USA.
Again, we talked in the last one. Song titles are just not sticking this season.
Well, same for this, because on the set list it was called Big Little USA, which is what they've used for the Chiron at the bottom, and it wasn't called that on the album. So REM like don't know the titles of their own songs.
Steve, I do have to apologise. Apparently, Alice in Chains are considered a.
A bit grungy. Soundgarden, Stone Temple Pilots, something like that.
Soundgarden, absolutely are. Yeah.
Anyway, I want to respond to your idea that I'm taking it personally.
Please talk about that, do a wee-wee.
Because what I've always said on this podcast, and I don't know if I've said it on air, but I definitely say it off air, I don't really care if you like an album or not, as long as you have something to say about it, you know, because ultimately we're trying to create some kind of entertainment or something interesting for people to listen to, right? Would you agree with that? I know that we've yet to do it.
I think I think it's interesting for people to listen to the mind of a complete idiot, though. Like, how popular was the Ricky Gervais podcast when they had Carpool?
Yeah, that's true. You said very early on in season one, like, when it became apparent what your role...
I don't want to be the Pilkington of the podcast.
It became apparent where it was going, and we pulled back from it, I think. But, so I'm not taking it personally, but what I did want to do with this episode is I came away from Fables not understanding your point of view, okay? And... I don't like that. I want to be able to understand what you think about an album and how you feel about an album, even if it's negative, you know?
But I also think right now I don't have a point of view. That's my point.
Right.
That I don't have a point of view yet.
But a 3 out of 10 for Fables is strong for someone who doesn't have a point of view, you know?
Yeah, but that's... I don't have a point of view on them as a whole, do you know what I mean? I don't feel like I have a grasp yet on what's going on, do you know what I mean?
Well, I tell you what. Is this gig helping at all? Because I think this is a really strong performance.
I think it is. It's good, yeah. It's good. I mean, I'm definitely... largely, the songs that are coming across best are songs I like. More like, yes, I remember this song now. It's the one about the wagon. Good. It's good, isn't it?
This is so much more energy and performance than the last one we saw. The last one felt a bit flat.
Well, you know what? Like, that was a very, like...
What a wonderful place to live.
See, I told you, when he showed up earlier, that is what he sounds like.
That is how he talks.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, has he texted you guys or anything?
Don't slag him off too much, because he might...
Why would he text me?
Well, because he had to drop out.
Yeah, but it was nothing to do with us. Like, you surprised us with Michael Stipe.
I don't know, he might have messaged you, I don't know. I've been having signal problems, so I thought he might have just gone to one of you.
Fair enough, yeah.
Nothing this end, I have to say.
Yeah, this is much more of a energetic performance, isn't it, in general?
Oh my god, I got sucked into my phone instantly then.
Did you?
Jesus Christ.
Did you start looking at notifications? Any notifications?
Yeah, I'm like, what? Yeah.
I was doing
a joke where I was looking up my texts from Michael Stipe, which happened, and I went...
I love that you had to still unlock your
Twitter.
Phone.
Like, yeah.
Just to do the bit. You could have just pretended.
Maybe it will take until I feel an inflection point in REM.
Yeah.
That I get it a bit more. You know what I mean?
I'll tell you what, do me a favour. Go to Google Images and look for REM and look at their nice faces.
Maybe it takes when we get to that album that was big.
What, number 7?
Number 7.
I think, actually, if you listen to the intro episode, I told you it was number 8.
Yeah, I know, but then I've looked them up and I've seen that number 7 is the album that's got... You said number 8 is when they became the biggest band in the world and filled out stadiums. But it's number 7 when they broke mainstream.
No. It's difficult. There is no break point. They just build and build and build. You could argue that album 4 is a more mainstream break for them.
I mean, this is me slightly spoiling it for myself because I'm on the Wikipedia page for Out of Time.
Yeah.
But
the one that's got Losing My Religion on it. So.
It does say with Out of Time, REM status grew from that of a cult band to a massive international act.
Yeah, absolutely. But they were already a stadium band.
Oh, cult band doing stadiums.
Yeah.
Big REM, cult. Man. They're interesting. This is the thing. And usually that interesting stuff is interesting to you. But this season you're a bit like, don't know if that's interesting this time.
I haven't said I don't find them interesting, though.
I just said
that the album didn't suck me in and I found the songs largely boring. I haven't said that I've not found them interesting.
Do you think that REM are Scientology? Like the biggest cult?
Yeah.
Is that something?
Speak on that.
Do you think I actually think the biggest cult is actually Christianity. Actually, I think. Is that the biggest religion? Is Christianity the biggest religion? Shut up!
Just a quick pop shove it, and then we carry on. Yeah.
We had a really interesting discussion about music, and then I did that.
Well, no, but you did that because I think it's my fault. I think anything bad on this podcast is my fault. Because you guys have been having a really good discussion. And then I've gone, look at him. Isn't he dancing?
We all agree
nice?
On that.
Oh.
It's not interesting. I'm on the Wikipedia page for major religious groups. because I was curious to know what the largest religion was.
Oh, they've left.
Yeah.
Sorry, the band has left.
He said, thanks, see you later, before anybody had even started clapping.
Well, there's a half an hour to go.
I know. Well, it's because there's a couple of encores, mate.
Oh, well, but they're 30... Hold on, maths. They're 66% of the way through the set.
Yeah. That's okay. True. I don't know how long this encore is, but fill it with the world's biggest religion, I suppose, Lucas. What's going on?
It's Christianity.
Losing my
31%, religion. 31%. And then it's Islam.
I was going to say, that's surprising to me, that's Christianity.
Then it's irreligion, which is lack of religion, which then I clicked on that page, and yes, irreligion.
Irreligion.
But then that irreligion takes many forms, ranging from the casual and unaware to full-fledged philosophy, such as atheism.
Oh, we're backstage.
So what's the difference between atheism and irreligion?
Atheism is you're absolutely certain there's no God and you kind of really...
No.
No?
99% sure that there's no God, yeah.
Yeah.
That feels like semantics. It's like irreligion and atheism seem pretty similar.
But there's also some people that just don't give a shit. Like I don't even think about it.
Right? Yeah, well, that's irreligion.
And also, I think you can believe in a God and not be religious. I think you can be spiritual but not religious. I would consider myself spiritual, but I don't belong to any kind of religion.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Losing your
so
religion.
So that is a neglect or active rejection of religion, whereas atheism, I suppose, is specifically the...
I do not believe in a higher power,
which I guess that would make me an atheist, whereas it would make you an irreligious person because you don't believe in any religion, but you don't necessarily not believe in any kind of power or lord.
Well, it's not lord. To be clear, the higher power I believe in is the healing power of rock and roll.
Oh, cool.
Didn't expect it. Sorry. Talking of the healing power of rock and roll, that was the lamest sort of 5 minutes that I've ever watched.
Behind the scenes.
There was a couple of clapping, and they kind of went into their dressing room and then came out and went, no, I'm not taking any pictures.
Yeah. I just got a text from my wife.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Bear in mind, in the context that we were just talking about, half an hour ago, we mentioned Grey's Anatomy.
Sure.
Yeah.
My wife just texted me, like, this is important. This warranted her texting me.
Yeah.
A, at all, and B, whilst recording the podcast. Mm. And bear in mind, the word finally in this text is in all caps, right?
Right.
Have you seen that Patrick Dempsey has finally been named Sexiest Man Alive by People magazine? Alive,
sure. Yeah, I saw this today. We were all waiting for it, weren't we?
Don't even know.
Finally.
Who that is. I'm gonna have
finally.
To look him up.
Patrick Dempsey. I mean, he's.
Dempsey.
Yeah, he's. I mean, he's fuckable. Like,
For me, Patrick Dempsey, the poor man's Dermot Mulroney. For me.
Look at those piercing eyes.
And that's just me. But I am on record as saying Patrick Dempsey. Poor man's Dermot Mulroney.
Mulroney being Gavin from Friends.
That's right.
That's your reference point for him, yeah.
No, but that is everyone's reference point for him. Yeah. I think. He's not done loads else.
That's probably his largest role. I know his largest, but his most, like, that's probably had the most eyes on it, I reckon.
He crops up, though.
He's in Scream 6.
Yeah, and he's in Zodiac, and I love seeing Dermot Mulroney's name pop up in an opening credit sequence. I'm like, are you kidding? Dermot Mulroney's in this fucking program. I'm all aboard. Yeah, motherfuckers. I'm on the Dermot Mulroney train.
Whereas to me, he is firmly in that guy territory, whereas he shows up and I go, he's that guy. He's Gavin from Friends.
Yeah,
me and Hannah have been watching some Friends recently, just obviously through the sad news of Matthew Perry dying.
Really sad. It's affected me way more than I assumed.
Well, because regardless of your opinions on Friends in 2023, legendary show, seminal and enormous.
I would also like to go on record and say I love the show Friends. I think it's great.
I mean, there's a few little jokes here and there that haven't aged great, but I mean, that's true of everything.
Transphobia, for example.
Yeah,
but
we've been watching it, and I've been watching it casually. Like, I'm not like, let's watch all of Friends, but Hannah's watching through it all, and if I'm not in the room, I don't care.
Yeah.
But so many jokes that are still great.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, because it's very funny.
And guess what? Most of those best jokes are Chandler.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's the funny one, isn't he?
Chandler and Ross.
Yeah, I love Ross. Ross, I love Ross. Is such a piece of shit.
He's such a worm. He's such a little worm.
Like a real manipulative bastard. Yeah, really and just really horrible to women in general.
And also, absolutely the most pathetic
worm.
Piece of shit.
Yeah.
And I love him.
Yeah.
David Schwimmer plays him so well. I never feel any sympathy for Ross at all.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I really like seeing him get his comeuppance in Band of Brothers. That really was really
I've never seen
cathartic.
Band of
Same.
Brothers.
Shall I watch that?
Holy shit. Have you not seen it either,
Steve? I'm going to watch it for the Spielberg podcast. We're not doing an episode on it, but I want to watch it for that.
Holy shit. Steve, have you also not seen A Band of Brothers?
No.
Top.
Yeah?
Three TV series ever made.
I'm in. Okay.
Steve, do you want to get together, crack open a bottle of wine and watch Band of Brothers?
A little bit, yeah. Actually, I do, yeah.
That is a long bottle of wine because it is 10 hours.
And it will be a long bottle of wine.
All right, well, we'll do 10 bottles of wine.
No, we'll get a 7-yard bottle of wine.
Yeah, okay, a classic 7-yard bottle.
No, you don't want to be. You don't want to be pissed. You need to be.
You're like you're sipping straight from the bottle, and it's hitting the ceiling.
You need to be able to pay attention and appreciate and absorb what's happening. Yeah, show.
I'm gonna watch Band of Brothers anyway. Just to briefly check.
Are you then gonna watch the Pacific and then the new one that's coming out soon?
The Boys from R.E.M. Let's just check in on them. One, Michael Stipe is very sweaty. Two, this is a new one that doesn't appear on a proper album at any point. I think it ends up as a B-side. It's called Theme from Two Steps Onward, which I think is a fake film that they made up because they wanted to make it look like they'd written a song for a film.
Very cool or very lame?
Yeah, I think that's cool.
So either cool or lame.
That's cool. It's funny. It's a good bit. It's a good bit. We haven't really delved into the humour of REM yet, but we will. After Document, we're going to watch something, which I think is very funny.
Cool. Okay.
The
Document.
Did you say you've seen The Pacific?
I think I saw The Pacific, yeah.
That's mad because that's like the second one.
Yeah, but is it a sequel?
They're not. No, exactly. It's just another miniseries about a different part.
Yeah. That's more about the
Pacific side of the war,
Pearl Harbor-y stuff, right?
The Pacific side of the war, yeah.
The specific part of the war. Clue
is in the title.
The specific part of the war being
the bit in the Pacific.
The specific,
yeah, but which, like, how Pacific?
How specifically are we talking?
How Pacific? Very.
Yeah. If you can, be a little bit more Pacific.
I've been near Pearl Harbor and didn't go.
So
to
one of your
Harbor.
Tricks.
Yes. Yeah.
He was grinding.
Yeah. Little 5-0.
I didn't go to Pearl Harbor. I was like within minutes of it and just didn't go.
That's a good anecdote.
I had too much other stuff to do that I was
Who's clapping and what for? Michael Stipe just asked the audience.
Yeah, fair enough.
Who's clapping and what for? Hey, so this is Toys in the Attic, which is a cover of Aerosmith.
I know this song.
Okay.
Do you actually?
Yeah, I think so.
So, Aerosmith, not cool in the 80s.
When were they cool?
Well, they were classic rock in the 70s, and then they had a bit of a resurgence in the 90s. And I tell you what, and this is an interesting distinction, right? And this might help you out a little bit, maybe. They were big in the 80s, Aerosmith, okay? But they were not cool. Right. Yeah,
yeah, like again, you too now.
Exactly. Right, they're big, but they're not cool.
Yeah.
And REM, so REM, who were quote-unquote cool, choosing to cover Aerosmith is interesting.
It's like someone covering U2 now.
Yes, they are a cool band covering a not cool band, and it's that thing that we've talked about that is REM blending the old and the new in ways that others weren't doing. They were doing the cool thing of playing post-punk-influenced music, but they were injecting it with classic pop and rock influences that people who were heavily into one kind of scene maybe hadn't been exposed to before, which is cool because it makes them sound like they're doing something fresh and new, but they're kind of not. They're on a genre that kind of already exists, which is post-punk, and they're taking bits from classic rock and mixing it in. That's what gave them their kind of like unique sound. That is why people were so excited about REM, and I appreciate that from 2023... that's difficult to grasp. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also, he's got his original bass back, I've just noticed.
I think he just snapped a string.
Obviously someone fixed that whilst he played on a different bass and then he got it back.
Weird seeing Peter Buck do a guitar solo.
Isn't it? Yes. There's one on the next album and you're like, oh, yeah. Wait, what?
Okay. You're like, okay.
Yeah, okay. I guess it's a guitar solo.
Also, Aerosmith, obviously very, very cool. So cool that Disneyland considered them deserving of making a ride theme.
That intro to that. Do you remember when we went when we were how old?
Because we're going down.
so
he's
weird.
The little hands. It's demented that I rode that ride in like 2019 and it was still Aerosmith.
Same.
Who gives a fuck?
Have they changed it now, right? I bet it's Guardians of the Galaxy.
It's now Captain Marvel.
Iron Man and Cap. It's Iron Man and Captain Marvel. Yeah.
I went in, I guess it must have been pre-COVID, right? So yeah, 2019, I also probably went there and rode that ride. Also, it was about bands not being cool. You two are definitely cool because obviously teenage girls, famously, as of the film Taken, love you two and go on tour to follow them around on tour.
Hang on, I knew you were going to say this. I genuinely had
you
a
knew what we went into this episode and you went, I reckon Lucas is going to talk about you two and he's going to bring up
but
Taken.
You mentioned it before and I was like, next time Lucas brings this up, I'm going to come back on this. I know, and I'm still friends with them, I knew three teenage girls that around the time that Taken came out did follow you to it on tour around Europe.
Can we just clarify, did you know them when they were were you friends with these teenage girls when you were a teenager?
I was also a teenager. We were in university. Okay, we were in
I was going to say, to be fair, the first Taken came out in 2008, so we were only 19.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. And one of them was 18, the other two were 19, and they went and followed the 360 tour around Europe. Yeah, yeah. You two are big in Europe.
A, that's mad. B, Europe, though, she's American in that film. It's Maggie Grace.
Mate, I'm going over to Europe to see Redacted.
And also, I don't think she's supposed to be 19, though. She's supposed to be like 15 or 16 or something, isn't she?
Yeah, but you two are good. Anyway, sorry, just to briefly again, we're just going to check in with those REM boys.
Another cover, right?
This is cover, See No Evil by Television. Now, Television were a proper post-punk band. So putting those two covers together is really interesting, I think. It's like, here are our influences, post-punk and classic rock. These are the two things we're doing. And they've REM'd them both up. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that's cool. I think that's... I'm wondering if at all that gives you a sense of the essence of the band a little bit, these two covers.
I guess so. Like, when a band chooses to... to play something, it's usually because they like that track. You kind of get a bit of a bit of them from
it. The thing is, I don't know what the original sounds like, so I don't know how much they're REMing it up or how much.
Sounds like this. More or less sounds like this.
What happens in Taken 2 and 3?
Someone gets taken again.
Oh. Is it his daughter again, though, twice?
I don't know.
Which is the Taken where they have the bit where he jumps over a fence and there's 200 shots?
That's three. Yeah, that's good. That's funny. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
To hide the fact that the 66-year-old man can't jump over a fence. Which, to be clear, is fine. He doesn't need... He shouldn't be able to jump over a fence at that age.
Yeah, let's have realistic age standards for our action heroes.
Look at them basically being the Clash here.
Sharing a microphone and stuff. Yeah, just it's cool, isn't it?
All the energy. And like, it's just
again,
not been
punk
their
energy.
It's not been their track, though, like this encore.
And no one goes, oh, famous punk band, REM. Yeah. But they have a bit of that, you know? And they're going straight into Second Guessing.
Yeah.
Which I think is a song that we all enjoyed.
It's
Imperial Body Bags, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, he's cool, man. I think when we were in a band, Steve, I think Michael Stipe's stage presence was the one I tried to imitate the most.
100%. That you can kind of see
right down to the jacket.
The jacket, yeah. Yeah, you had that kind of threadbare jacket, didn't you, that you wore over a t-shirt. But then you can look back on some gigs where you're James Dean Bradfield as well. With the white,
because of the guitar,
white
right? It's before I switched guitars.
White.
Yeah. That first gig where I wore
and you
all
had
white
it solo down by basically your knees. Yeah.
Oh yeah, great. And I was wearing sunglasses.
Yeah. But I can see the energy all over this. Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
We all knew it. It's fine. Here we are.
I suppose there was one thing I did kind of want to check in on, which was just like, guys, are you okay?
Huh?
I think I wanted to just do a little mental health check on both of you, because some of the stuff you've said in the last few episodes has just been objectively wrong.
Yeah.
No,
go ahead. Is it when I gave Murmur a 7?
No, Steve, I think I brought up like... you know, can you tell the difference in the songwriting on Fables of the Reconstruction? And you were like, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And there was such panic in your eyes. And you went like, yeah, because the song structures are all different, everything. All the song structures are
all the same
as the other ones. They're all chorus
and then
verse.
I panicked again. And then I went, yeah. No, I know.
I know that, yeah, but but what I really meant was like, this sort of feels a bit different. No.
Yeah, and then Lucas, on the Correct Talent EP, you were like, well, this is very lo-fi. And then you realised on the episode, as I said it, that it wasn't lo-fi.
That's because he was listening in headphones. Like,
yeah, and you were like, oh, I think it was my assumption that that it was lo-fi that made me think it was lo-fi.
Like New Art
but then,
Riot,
I was thinking about this. You listened to it. Like, so how did your assumption carry through your listen? So, guys, are you okay,
hey,
guys? Are you
Adam,
all
what that
good?
Shows is good? That context and our own personal context, you know, really brings a lot into how
our
we
context is so strong. Like, it warps our brains. Like, and I think strong structures are different. Oh, is it come off?
Is picture of Ronald McDonald's come off?
If I'd spent ages and ages and ages, let's say you were unfamiliar with the album, right? And I spent ages and ages and ages telling you that In Rainbows was lo-fi, would you have got into it and listened to it for ages and gone, wow, such a lo-fi album?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I bet a lot of my panic has come from, I really feel like we need to do REM justice.
Yeah, I mean,
does that
they're
say
not
no
as serious
cruise?
A band.
Sorry to interrupt
yeah,
you immediately.
No cause.
No clause. No cruise.
Clause.
No cruise.
No
Tom Cruise.
No Tom. Oh, I don't know that sentence.
People are
actually
leaving before
yeah,
their encore.
Yeah, and they've got another encore. And it's a TV performance as well. No, they know they're on TV and they're like, yeah, I'm going to leave.
Sometimes you just want to get ahead of the traffic, don't you? I mean,
yeah, that's true.
If you know, you know, you've seen the songs you care about, you just go, you know, I could just get ahead of it, I could just get there a bit early.
There's one song that we care deeply about that has yet to come up.
Losing My Religion.
Losing My
Bit.
Shiny, happy, people.
Orange Crush.
Bit early. Bit
the
early,
Great Beyond.
Don't know Orange Crush. Don't know that song.
You do know Orange Crush.
Is it one that goes, have you shown me what up?
No. That's the Sidewinder Sleeps Tonight.
What's the frequency of Kenneth? Is that coming next? Other songs. Bad Day.
Tell you what, spoilers, potentially. Well, you'd have a good shout for Bad
Day. I had
a
Trace Elliott bass amp.
Did you?
Sorry, he had a Trace Elliott bass amp.
But you were in the band, so you obviously just inherited their equipment.
Yeah, you inherited that one.
For your drums.
Yeah.
What's great is that the amp that I got,
I
bought secondhand off a friend for £100, and then I sold it on like 5 years later to a friend for £100.
Wow. So, look at that guy smoking indoors. Oh, guys, do you want to smoke? Oh, God, I want to smoke. Look at that. It looks really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, it does look cool.
Because you are cool if you smoke. So they're coming out for the second encore. Oh, he's back again. I really want to smoke. Oh, no, wait, hold on.
Our official position is that it's cool to smoke.
Well, the problem is it does look so cool. That's a real problem.
It looks fucking grubby and disgusting. Like you're a little fucking disgusting.
The smell is bad. Yeah. The taste is bad. The look is great.
Bloody cool. bloody boom.
I think you look weak.
The thing is, smoking's cool again now because you don't see anyone smoke anymore. You see everyone vaping, and vaping's lame. So when you see someone smoke, you almost think, yeah, fair play, man. Like, you don't care if you die immediately.
Here's another insight into their influences, I reckon.
What on earth are they playing now? R.E.M.
Another little cover.
When it comes,
they don't know what it is, so they're just like, R.E.M.
At least they're doing the full stops, to be fair. I have set it to my phone now that every time I put R.E.M., it automatically does R.E.M.
Do you ever type remember and it does like R.
No,
E.
So what
M.
I've done now is that it gives me the suggestion in my keyboard. This is so dull. I've just hurt myself. So I'm just going to quickly do a nose manual and then I'm back to it.
Yippee-yay-yay. They're playing Riders in the Sky by Stan Jones and his Death Valley Rangers.
That's very southern,
and
isn't
you
it?
You know this song, don't you? You know this song?
Don't know it.
Yeah. It's a classic.
I'm getting a bit warm.
Yeah. I mean, you're wearing a sheep.
One of the fluffiest things I've ever seen in my life.
I'm going to take off the slippers and let some heat.
Oh, he's got slippers. What a cozy boy.
I'm wearing slippers at the moment. You really don't know that guitar line, Lucas.
Well, it's the Animals marching 2x2, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
Oh, yeah, I guess it is, actually.
Guys, I tell you what, I just took my slippers off. feet are a bit sweaty. It's a bit
yeah. Smelly. Oh, it's God. Yeah, this is the content that people smelly. Pay for at the end of a commentary.
A little bit
yeah,
smelly, I reckon. A bit smelly.
For free.
Yeah. I might start selling pictures of my feet on the internet.
Why not?
You have to have nice feet, though, Lucas, and you don't have nice...
No. I have to have unique
That's
feet,
That's true. You're right. Yeah, yeah.
And my feet are fucking unique. I'm missing two toenails at the moment.
Oh, my
so.
God. Anyway, Ghost Riders oh. in the Sky, Adam. Yep.
Weird cover,
yeah,
right?
Weird cover. Well, is it, though?
And look, and do you know what? He's kind of like, that look that he gave the audience at the end was just like, yeah, we covered Ghost Riders in the Sky. What are you going to do about it?
to be honest, Adam, it's not that surprising if you listen to Fables.
I was going to say it's not that surprising if you listen to Life's Rich Pageant.
Because of all the things.
Because of the middle yeah, yeah. bit. Okay, yeah, the middle yeah, one. Right, the yeah. middle one. I think it sounds a bit like that.
Shut up.
Yeah. Here we go. A little bit of Don't Go Back to Rockville.
That works after that.
Yeah, do you reckon so?
Yeah, it's a Western, isn't it?
The thing about them live at this point is they're obviously one guitar, one bass, drums and vocals. So I think songs like Don't Go Back to Rockville, or if they were to play something like Shaking Through, they're a bit thin. Like, yes. I need more. I need a strummed acoustic guitar,
yes.
or I need a piano on this song or something, you know?
A piano
definitely
go,
needs
which,
a piano,
well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it needs the piano part back, that honky-tonk piano, because I think this sounds a bit bare,
bit
you
basic.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, now, because it's just... It's just Peter Buck.
Adam, speaking of bear,
mm-hmm.
I saw some lovely bears.
Oh, Lucas. Oh, I've loved your updates.
And I knew you'd enjoy them. Lovely
I mean,
bears.
You know that I love a bear. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Lovely bears.
I do.
That's it.
Oh, you're not going to elaborate? Like you just said, you don't think you said anything.
Cool. I went and stayed in like a safari park place and there's some lovely bears.
Oh, mate. Yeah. Lovely stuff.
Lovely bears.
Yeah. Kind of want to go where you went. We might steal your holiday.
It wasn't a holiday, really, was it?
Oh.
I feel like holiday has to be like more, longer.
Weekend break.
Yeah, that's all right, isn't it? Yeah. I'll do.
There's harmonies, man. Adam, are you listening to the harmonies?
Steve, you should go yeah, and you should I'm stay. You should stay in the tiger lion lodge, which is a lodge that's
Sounds
got next
terrifying.
To your bed a big glass thing, and it's where the lions are. Make sure you go on a Saturday,
yeah.
in the middle of August.
Yeah.
It'll only set you back £2,400 a night.
Oh my god! What? So in your room, it goes on to the
there's your the glass yeah. of your bedroom is the lions. There.
So.
The glass in your bedroom is made of lions.
Yeah,
so what lions. You said is the lions.
Does that mean, Lucas, if wow. you're, what if you get out of the shower and just sort of wander around, that somebody watching the lion enclosure from the other side might not just see?
Well, I assume the angle is at
my
such
main.
That you can't.
Okay,
it's an absurd price though. Cheapest price I could find. Which was like a weekday off season.
£2,400
a night.
Can
still.
You divulge what Ooh. You paid for this weekend or not?
Okay, I went on a Monday
mm-hmm.
in November.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
probably the cheapest you're going to get.
Yeah.
I stayed
Out
in the
season.
Yeah,
I
yeah.
stayed in the bubble,
yeah,
which
yeah.
is like a big bubble
treehouse
up on a
thing.
Hill.
Yeah, lovely.
In a treehouse.
It looked like a holding pen for a refugee.
Yeah. It cost £450 for one night.
Oh, okay, so we're not going to go...
I wouldn't spend that on, like, a week.
Don't worry, though, because the night before, on the way up, because we didn't want to drive up...
But you would
up
spend it for one
morning,
night.
We were on the way up, we didn't want to drive up early all the way. So
Wait,
we
I like this bit.
We...
Yep.
Oh, the little pause. The
we
pause,
drove
the
there bit. And we stayed nearby in a Premier Inn just the night before, just so we were already in the
but
area
you had a better night.
The morning of. That was only £35.
Lovely.
So.
Yeah.
That's what I do at Disneyland Paris. Yeah, get a little hotel that isn't Disney owned the night before.
Yeah.
And then the second night is on the Disneyland property. So that you still get 2 days in the park,
exactly.
but you're not
was,
paying
little,
those prices.
Little Premier Inn next to the Ashford International Terminal, £35 a night bargain.
I didn't realise he had his own airport.
He does. But that's because of
yeah.
the back
yeah.
of the album. The album, the podcast you guys
The bubble
have done.
That. I'll tell you what, though. Do you know what's, right, great, yes. do you know what's great about the bubble that I stayed in?
Yeah.
Is that you literally have to had to have an airlock? To go in and out, otherwise it'd
yeah.
deflate. And of course, I had to test.
Oh, is
that.
It inflated?
So I owed... Yeah, it's inflated.
It looked
but like
glass.
It's no, it's,
but you're
it's...
breathing. But you're breathing in all the air.
I know. I don't understand how it's fine. but it was fine. Like it didn't. It,
the air was finite for the amount of time you were there.
It didn't feel like weird or anything, but it was.
If you stay over checkout, you die.
Yeah, but it was, they ask it was, for your lung size when you check. Yeah.
But it was effectively a pressurized like space.
Oh, weird.
And I did test it. I obviously opened both doors at once, even though they specifically told you not to. Yeah.
Oh, Lucas.
And it immediately starts starts going down.
Lucas paid £450 for a night. Of course you're going to try.
He's not going to test whether or the structural integrity of the thing he's taking.
He said, don't do this. I said, I'll do whatever the fuck I want, actually. You fucking thieves.
You what, it was lovely. Wait, I tell you what, in the middle of the night, when it's pitch black, because there's no curtains or anything, it's just all see-through.
Yeah.
I see the trees and the stars. It was lovely. And I woke up at some absurd, disgusting time of the morning, like 6:15, because the sun just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lovely. Lovely.
Oh, we're just to check back in with the REM boys. Yeah. We walk from Murmur. A little bit of bubblegum pop. I've got a technical question at this point, right?
1:35:40.
Yeah.
That's how long
same.
I've been recording
for. 1:35:40.
Yeah.
We're at 1:27 almost exactly on the video.
Yeah.
How have we been recording for 2 hours and 5 minutes?
Sorry?
How have we been recording for 2 hours and five? It's 5 past 9.
It took a while to get going.
We
jumped on quarter of an hour late, where didn't we? Because Steve.
Oh
was...
yes, we did. Okay.
I was cooking and sausages,
and then we
I did
and then
a tray
we
just... bake.
Okay, lovely, Steve. Thanks, mate.
Wait, is in like he did like a like he did like a sausage? What's a tray? What?
Loads
what?
Of veg and stuff chopped up into
in, and some sausages
and sausages in a pan in a tray
and some sausages.
Look did at you put the any, like did you? You could have bit of, so you could little bit of like some liquid and some seasoning and some bits. You could have made a sausage casserole. Out
of that. Yeah, there was a bit of seasoning, just sort of gravy thing and some thyme and some stuff on it. It's fine. It's lovely.
Really fucking boring.
Yeah, really boring. Less boring than Michael Stipe
and
in the crowd.
Mills. Yeah, and Mike Mills is down there as well. And again, the crowd...
Don't give a fuck.
Not really fussed about it, to be honest.
Do you see that guy there with the thinning hair and the beard? I bet he's 21. Yeah. Like, you know, in that time when everyone looked way older.
No, have you seen that Twitter account that footballers, is like footballers? Yeah. It's
but absolutely you say that, insane. I've been seeing a lot on Tickety Tockety recently.
Yes.
About,
yeah.
And it is true about the fact that young people today are starting to look old now as well, but it's more about the way they're styling themselves and also probably an effect of Botox.
A different type.
There
of,
is such a thing as iPhone face though.
But like people that are 23 who look 35 because they just have a look about them that looks older.
Yeah. Oh, he's getting in. He's gone in.
You know he's up on the barrier.
Oh, yeah.
And he's doing some business.
And everyone again, just looks awkward, really, don't they?
Oh, put his hand on the bald guy's head. And he's singing Falling in Love Again by Marlene Dietrich, who's a German actress who performed this song in the 1930 film The Blue Angel.
Hey, man, there is some haircuts.
So just a little bit of, you know, like local, you know, because they're in Germany right now. And then he also sings Behind Closed Doors by Charlie Rich in a second, who's an American country singer. So they're really blending in all kind of influences there. You know, they're playing their bubblegum pop song. Yeah. They're interpolating Marlene Dietrich, a German actress, and Charlie Rich, an American country singer. Cool band, I think. Interesting band.
What year did you say that actress was about? 1930?
1930, yeah. They're playing a song from the 1930s.
Talking of... Like, no, go on.
As cool as that is... I bet most of the audience don't have a fucking clue what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
What, it's Marlene Dietrich. No. She's a German actress. She's incredibly famous. That was a huge hit in Germany.
Right, and we're in Germany. Talking of influences, though, like, Adam...
Just because they're German doesn't mean they know every German person that's ever lived.
Disagree.
Like, I'm English. If you told me about some English actress from the 1930s, I don't necessarily know what songs they've sung in a film.
But you're a pleb, mate. They know who Marlene Dietrich is. I promise you.
You see Mike Mills behind the camera there to see what they're seeing.
Yeah, I did. He's
talking
nice
of influences,
time.
Though, Adam...
Oh,
I
tell you
Adam,
what. Hang on. No, sorry. Because Michael Stipe thinks they're dumb. He just said goodbye. He's like, yep, so long. See you later. But the band are like, no, we're not done, actually. And it's really interesting.
He's like,
this song has already come up today. But Michael Stipe has to rush back. Look, he's fiddling with the microphone. He's passing it to the roadie. It's getting all set up. He's like, I didn't realise we were going to do another song. There's a nice spontaneity to these kind of shows, you know, and that's the kind of bar band that that REM are. And Lucas, I think you'll be happy with this, man. I think you'll be happy with it.
It's Paint It Black.
Not, oh, it's yeah, Paint It Black. Is, yeah. it's the one Rolling Stones song you said you knew.
That's very funny.
That's so weird.
And do you know what? And just to reiterate,
when I mentioned Paint It Black earlier, your little
I know.
Balls must have just gone up inside your body. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just going to reiterate the point in a little bit. You know who else was big but not cool in the 80s?
Rolling Stones.
The Rolling Stones.
The Rolling Stones. Man, that was your fucking dad's music, man. Being into the Rolling Stones or the Beatles was the antithesis of these underground alternative scenes. But REM, crucially, weren't snobs. They know good pop music when they hear it, and then they start making it for fucking decades.
Yeah,
you know?
Ages. Yeah, you play Paint It Black in the 90s and like cool. But
yeah,
because
there was that resurgence of, like, you know, the Britpop is very, it hinges on the nostalgia for the 60s, doesn't it? You know?
Yeah.
In the same way that we have a nostalgia for the 90s.
Is there going to be a reassessment of Oasis soon?
Yeah, 100%.
And it's going to be their shit.
Yes, it could be. No, they're still. Turns out they're still shit.
We're talking about influence. Oh, he's got the harmonica up.
Harmonica.
Also, so Knights is next. Knights of Cydonia is after this.
What is interesting is that they, at the start of the gig, the difference in vibe of him like standing over the audience and interacting and all that sort of thing at the end, versus that first song where he's like, "I'm not even going to look at you."
Yeah.
He switched between vibes so much, though, between songs. It's really interesting.
Man, he's a Charmeleon.
Stop saying Charmeleon.
They call him the vibe switcher.
He's the invisible frog.
They do, don't they?
Yeah, Michael Stipe, the invisible frog.
Bit of a vibe chaser, isn't he, guys? Yeah. Bit of a vibe chaser, man. To be honest. Don't like it. Don't like it.
Talking about influences, like, and you were saying that how, like, you just took Michael Stipe's stage presence. This might not mean much to other people, but Adam, you would be weird as fuck like this, literally exactly like this on stage. And so when he went into the audience, that's what our audiences were like, where they didn't care. And you'd still give it 100%. And I loved
it. Yeah, we got to, haven't you?
Yeah, I loved it. So it's really interesting to see.
What
so
are you doing?
Basically, we're just as good as REM.
Oh, he's doing it a cappella now. Oh, that was cool.
Yeah, it's cool. Cool band. Cool band, cool guys.
Cool band, cool band, cool guys, cool podcast.
Cool band, cool guys, cool podcast. What is music?
Man. I'm having the time of my life watching this, to be honest. Gave him a little kiss. Gave Peter a little kiss on the cheek.
Oh, that's nice.
Lovely.
Yeah, I'm a bit jealous. Nice, why am I jealous?
I don't know.
Is it because Michael Stipe isn't kissing me on the cheek?
Yeah, it's weird that he didn't turn up again. I guess we must have had loads to talk about.
Yeah, that's true, I guess.
It's always a good sign when Michael Stipe doesn't turn up on the podcast, actually, because it means we've done a good job.
Hey, do you know what? Maybe that's the thing this season. If Michael Stipe turns up,
we
fucked up.
You know you're in trouble.
Done a bad job.
Steve?
Yeah?
We're missing a nostalgia gig tonight.
Who's playing tonight?
Why didn't we get tickets to go and see Finch?
Oh my God, really? Because they have two songs?
And they'll be playing them alternately all night.
What Is to Burn and Letters to You. Name another Finch song.
Grey Matter.
My letter is to you.
Yep.
Yeah?
No, Adam.
Why didn't we get tickets to go and see
Finch? There's Bill Berry, and I feel like I've really witnessed the power of the
monobrow.
I also just want
to. Is it a unibrow or a monobrow? Because it depends if you're going Latin or Greek, doesn't it?
Really just hit me there. Mike Mills looks a lot, and this won't mean anything to anybody, like Milky.
Yeah. Right? Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
One impenetrable thing to say. Just for reference, for context, that is a person that we know. Personally.
Do you know who will get it though? The person who will get it is the person that I'm dedicating this episode to, which is Bex Raymond, who is one of our biggest mate subscribers.
Bex, it finally happened. Can we talk about some extremely stereotypical names in the credits there? Klaus?
Yeah, absolutely.
Klaus is there. Klaus, Gunther? with an umlaut over the U and Hans. All right, there we go. Okay, great.
Lovely. What did you think of the show, guys?
That much better than the last one.
Was so much better than the last one. There was so much energy. I had a really fun time. It was a better episode. So that was good.
I feel like I understand your guys' point of view a little bit more. Do you guys feel you understand your own point of view a little bit more? Did we check in on anything at all?
I've never understood anything I've ever
said. I've never understood anything.
That makes a lot of sense. That actually makes a lot of sense, actually. That makes a lot of sense. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Our next episode is out next Monday. We're going to be talking about REM's fourth album, Life's Rich Pageant. So come and join us for that. But before you do, come and let us know what you think of the band in the Fables era. Did you see them on the Fables tour? Were you at the Rock Palace show? I doubt it, but on the off charts that you are, come and let us know. Find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at What Is Music Pod, TikTok at What Is Music, although I don't know how busy the TikTok is going to be, guys. I've got a lot on my plate. Do we abandon TikTok or what are we doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while.
Why would we
abandon
the most popular social media platform, though, at this point? Yeah. That's the one that's. Okay. Get rid of Facebook.
No,
because that's where all of the REM fans are.
The REM fans, you have to email them.
Yeah,
on their at yahoo.co.uk.
And that stands for electronic mail.
Well, what I've been doing is I've been looking them up in the yellow pages and phoning them each week to let them know that a new episode is out. Anyway, if you want to send us something a little bit longer that won't fit into the character limits on any of those social media sites, send it into whatismusicpod@gmail.com and we will read it out on the show. And if you've liked what you heard here and thought, I'd like to hear more of that, please do head over to our Patreon page where you'll find all kinds of extra podcast shows. One where we're revisiting Manic Street Preachers, still haven't nailed that, and one where we explore all kinds of different artists, genres and eras to make themed playlists. There's bonus commentaries, there's music discussion episodes, there's ad-free episodes of this show, there's a pretty amazing Discord community. Head to patreon.com/whatismusicpod or follow the link in the show notes for up to 2 podcast episodes every single week of your bloody lives. And there are also other ways that you can support us if you'd like to. You could buy some of our merchandise over at whatismusicpod.redbubble.com. Send us a little one-off donation on ko-fi.com, which is ko-fi.com/whatismusic. The best way to support us, however, just doing what you're doing right now, which is listening to us. We love all of our listeners. Thank you so much for listening to us. Please rate the show, subscribe to the show, share it with your friends. All of that stuff that podcasts ask you to do. That does it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you again for listening. We will see you next week. But for now, it's the end of the episode as we know it. And I feel clarity.
I feel commentary.
I feel concerned that my life has amounted to this. This is the peak. What if this is the peak? The peak is so low.
Yeah, okay. Hey, well, all right, guys, see you next week.